Hi, my name is Pam, 40. I'm 60 years old. Today's date is March 9th, 2020. I'm in Las Cruces. I'm interviewing my father, Phil Leach, and he's my dad.
My name is Phil Leach. I'm 87 years old. Today's date is March 9th, 2020. My partner is Pam, 40, and she's my daughter.
Okay. What was life like when you were growing up?
Well, hungry half the time. I was a product of the Depression, so, you know, and then the war broke out, and my parents went to work in defense plants in Seattle at Boeing. And believe it or not, that made it better for us because we had food regularly, a nice place to stay, so on.
How many kids were in your family?
I'm sorry?
How many kids were in your family?
Three.
Girls, boys? The brothers?
Yeah, all boys.
And you were the oldest?
Or? I'm the middle one.
Middle child.
And the best looking.
Okay. Okay. So what did, where did you grow up?
Well, Eugene, Oregon, until the war broke out. And then we moved to Seattle almost immediately. And then I was raised in Seattle until I went in the service.
And in high school, what was, did you have a good time in high school?
Yes, very much so.
Good. What kind of car did you drive?
I didn't have one.
You didn't have a car? What was your first car?
My first car was a 1928 Model A.
Okay. All right. Now, what made you join the service?
Made me join the service?
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to a little better life, stability.
And what branch of the service were you in?
The Air Force.
And what made you choose the Air Force?
Well, I'd always heard that the Army did a lot of marching.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured if I joined the Air Force, I wouldn't have to do that, but I was wrong.
Okay. And your other two brothers, were they in the service?
Yes.
What part of the
They service? Were both in the Coast Guard.
In the Coast Guard. What? Why didn't you go into the Coast Guard?
Well, that's the main reason I went in the Air Force. I wanted to be a little bit different because my stepfather and my mother were both in the Coast Guard, too.
Really? Well, that's good. How old were you when you went in?
19, if I remember correctly. You're asking a lot of my memory.
Well, what about yours? What year did you go in?
I went in June 15th, 1956.
1956. Okay.
No, I'm sorry, 1952.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't sound right. Okay, so 1952.
Yeah, 1956 is when I got out.
What about your basic? Where did you have basic training?
Where? In, I can't remember the name of the town. It was in Central California.
Okay. And then where were you stationed?
Denver for training.
Uh-huh. And then?
And then they sent me to Fort Worth for more training.
Okay. And what were you flying on? What plane? Uh-huh.
After my training, I was on B-36s.
And what was the nickname for that?
The Peacemaker.
That's right. Okay. Now, what was your position on the plane?
I was a chief gunner.
Okay. Did you ever have to fire at anything?
I'm sorry?
Did you ever have to fire at anything?
Targets.
Just targets, okay. Okay. And where did you end up? After Fort Worth, you went where?
I was in Fort Worth for finish up my training. This in 1953. And they were reactivating Biggs Air Force Base in El Paso, Texas. And the first plane to go there was a B-36 out of Fort Worth.
Okay.
And I was assigned to be on that plane.
Okay. Were you on that plane that went from Fort Worth to El Paso?
No.
Why?
They pulled me off because they figured they didn't need a full crew just to ferry a plane from Fort Worth to El Paso.
How many men were on the plane?
I think there were, you're asking a lot of my memory, but I think there were 14 on it, I think.
Okay. And when the plane took off and came to El Paso, what happened?
Well, there was a snowstorm in El Paso. And there's also mountains that range through and end up right in downtown El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And they were circling over the mountains, and they couldn't see them because of the snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And the ground control wasn't as sophisticated in those days as it is now. And they crashed the plane into the side of the mountain, flew it right straight in the mountain.
Wow.
And, of course, everybody was killed. And if I had been on it, I wouldn't be interviewing my daughter here right now.
That's right. So when you got to El Paso, you drove from El Paso, from Fort Worth to El Paso, right?
Yes. When they pulled me off, I didn't care because I was being transferred to El Paso anyway. And so I just loaded my car up and cleared the base in Fort Worth and took off for El Paso. Now, I didn't know that plane had crashed until I got to El Paso because in those days, when you left the outskirts of a city, your radio went off in your car. And the speed limit was 35 miles per hour nationwide. And they had just a two-lane highway going across the state of Texas. It took me many, many hours to get to El Paso. But I didn't know that plane crashed until I got here, or got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I called after I went out to the base just to see it, and they told me that the plane had crashed. And so I called my parents in San Diego, my stepfather and my mother, and they were all upset because they knew I was supposed to be on that plane.
Wow.
They didn't know that I was pulled off of it.
Wow. Already making funeral arrangements?
They were making funeral arrangements, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, excuse me. Did you know the men that were on that plane?
Some of them. I didn't know them all because I was a trainee in Fort Worth.
Oh, okay.
I was very lucky because in one of the classes they told us we'd already been promoted to PFC, and they told us when we started this class, whoever was top in the class would get promoted to corporal, and that was me. I had made up my mind I was going to do it, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I was a corporal, they made me a chief gunner, and I had never even been on a B-36.
Really? How did you get... The plane was so big. How many bombs did it carry?
Well, if my memory serves me, it would carry 132 250-pound bombs.
Wow. Did you ever drop any of those bombs?
Yes.
Where?
In different practice ranges that they had. And when I was in Guam, we took off. It was during the Korean War, and we took off for Korea with a full load of bombs. But they called us back because they didn't want to take Korea completely off the map.
Yeah, so you didn't drop any on Korea.
So we didn't drop any in there.
How close were you to Korea before they turned you around?
We were about two-thirds of the way from between Guam and Korea.
And they turned you around?
Yeah, and they called us back.
Otherwise, Korea...
And I was happy that they did.
Yeah. Otherwise... Well, I'm sorry. Otherwise, Korea might not be here?
Well, we could fly higher than almost anything that they had that they could send after us. Mm-hmm. So we weren't too worried about it. But... you never know what can happen.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a movie made about this plane?
I think there was a couple of them. One of them was called the Strategic Air Command.
Uh-huh.
It was Jimmy Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Now, everybody wondered why him. That's because he was actually in the Air Force Reserve. He was Brigadier General.
Wow.
And I met him in Fort Worth.
You met him?
Yeah.
Jimmy Stewart?
I met him along with a whole bunch of other people. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't take me aside and have a chit-chat or anything.
Yeah. So how long have you lived in El Paso?
Well, I got there in December of 53, and I'm still living there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went TDY different places. I went to the Azores twice, and I went to Guam for 5 months. And
did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Did you?
I enjoyed the Air Force, but I met my wife in El Paso on a blind date. And she was from Rochester, New York. And she didn't care for the Air Force too much because when there'd be an alert, we were already assigned a plane, and we had to run, get on that plane, and all the phones on the base were shut off. So I couldn't call her and tell her that I'm not coming home for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And she did not like that.
No.
And we'd take off and we'd maybe end up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana or someplace. And we'd stay, we'd be gone for 2 or 3 days at a time. And she hated it.
Yeah. Can you describe the blind date?
Can I describe it?
Yeah.
I and some of my friends met some young gals. Their name was Porras.
Mm-hmm.
And they were native El Pasoans, and they were going to what at the time was called Texas Western. It's now University of Texas at El Paso, UTEP. And she was going there, too. She had been married before, and her husband and little boy were killed in an automobile accident when they were coming back from the Rose Bowl parade.
Hmm.
And so she had stayed in El Paso and was going to UTEP, or to Texas Western. And she was friends with these girls, and these girls decided they'd going to fix me up with her. And they did. And that's how I met her.
But didn't you just show up at the door?
Did I what?
Just show up at her door?
Yes, I... they told me where she lived, gave me her address, and I just went there. She was a little bit shocked, I think.
Yeah. Well, can I describe? Okay, well, what Mom told me was that she said no, she didn't want to go out on a blind date, and so you just decided to show up at her door, and when she answered it, her jaw just dropped because you were so handsome.
Well, that's true. I was.
And Gary, she had another son.
Right.
Who was brain damaged in that accident due to drunk driver.
Right.
I definitely want to make sure.
In the state of Arizona.
Right.
And Mom and I were married for 63 years.
Yeah.
So I figure she was a very lucky young lady.
Yeah. And you were always the comedian in the family?
I guess. She used to get a kick out of the fact that the little neighborhood kids would come knock on the door and ask if I could come out and play. Because I used to go out and play baseball with them in the street.
How many kids did you have with Mom?
Well, not counting my stepson, I had three. Mm-hmm. Every time I hung my pants over the bedpost, got pregnant.
You do know that this is going into the Library of Congress, right?
Hi.
Okay. So, retired. You've been retired for... Why did you retire?
I retired because... Mom had her second stroke. Mm-hmm. The first stroke wasn't too severe, but the second one was. It was a hemorrhagic stroke.
Right.
With blood on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to retire to take care of it. Now, I didn't want to retire. I was 82 years old, so I guess I was due.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reason I retired when I did.
And you tried to take care of Mom by yourself?
Yes. But by the time I turned around, my daughter, who I'm talking to right now, and her husband, and my son, who also lives down in Dallas area, they were there picking me up, and they said, grab what you want, and you're going with me. And, well, there were a lot of things I would have loved to have taken, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Material things.
Huh?
Material things.
Right.
Can you ask your dad about living in Guam? What that was like?
Yeah. Let's go back to when you were in the Air Force, Dad. Did you, what was it like living in Guam?
I loved it.
Really?
I had never been to Hawaii except to fly over it. But I think the beaches in Guam are probably better than they were in Hawaii.
Really?
Oh, they were beautiful. Now, we were the only group that they rotated over there that didn't have some kid want to commit suicide because he was homesick and this and that and the other, you know. But I loved it.
Yeah.
I'd been away from home for years or for a long time. And the whole base was controlled by the Navy. Then we were on an Army base. The Army was in charge of the Air Force base. And I don't know, I just had a great time. I'd go down to the Navy PX, which was gigantic, and pick things up, you know. I sent my mother a string of pearls.
Really?
And a bottle of Joy perfume.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And but the base, Guam is a beautiful island. It really is. Not very big. I think it's like 25 miles long or something like that. But then it would have mementos of the Second World War, and there would be an old tank with the wheels busted off of it or something with a sign on it. The houses were built on stilts, so when they had the monsoons, the water would run underneath the houses without flooding them out.
How long were you in Guam?
5 months.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, a normal rotation was 3 months, but we were the first crew there out of our rotation, and we were the last one to leave, and it came out to 5 months.
How long was the B-36?
How long?
Yeah, no, how long was it in service? When did they stop using the B-36?
About 1959, I think. But you're asking questions some of I don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
But I think it was around 1959.
Do you know how many B-36s there were out there? No.
No, there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
Quite a few. They had quite a few bases around the United States. And, when I went to the Azores, I really enjoyed that, too. When you flew over, it looked like an emerald sitting in the water down there, you know, and an island. If I remember, it's Portuguese, I think. And one day, we wanted to see the island, me and a couple of my buddies, and we went to the down by the officers' club, and they had a phone there, a phone booth. We called the motor pool and told them, this is Colonel so-and-so. Would you bring a Jeep by the officers' club and just leave it parked outside? And they did it. And we drove that Jeep all over that island. We really enjoyed it. And then we parked it in front of the officers' club, called them up and told them, you better come get your Jeep.
How old were you then?
I imagine I was about 21. I can't remember. I think that was our first trip to the Azores.
Do you have any more funny stories like that?
Probably a lot of them. I don't know. And I can't think of some. But that was a fun time.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever played a slot machine because the NCO club there had slot machines in it.
Mm-hmm. What'd you win? What did you win if you won 3 cherries or something?
Oh, I didn't really win anything, I don't think. But there was one other funny story. It's a little bit on the crude side maybe, but we had what they called a honey bucket in the back, and the first person to use it had to take it and empty it. So when we were landing in the Azores, we didn't have the right to fence off the runway and so on, so people walked across it all the time. We didn't know that.
Okay.
So we opened the bottom hatch and poured it out. And the props, you know, were pusher props, and there were 6 big 24-foot props there that blowing that stuff all over the place and all over the people walking across.
Oh, that's great.
We went out one time and we were partying and half tooted, you know. And this one kid, his name was Roman. And he was kind of nutty in a way, but he went down to the officers' barracks and kicked their fire furnace over there, tipped it over in the barracks.
Why?
Their fireplace. He was just
nutty.
Ornery as hell.
Were you when you were stationed in El Paso, did you all ever go to Juarez?
Did we?
Uh-huh.
Yes, we went to Juarez quite often, but you didn't have the restrictions then that you have now.
Right.
You could go to Juarez and come back, you know, and all you got to do is declare your citizenship when you come across the bridge. And we used to go over there and eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the name of the one restaurant that we really liked. They had several drive-in fast food restaurants here. You know, they didn't have McDonald's and places like that. But we could go to Juarez and go to that restaurant, and for 85 cents, we could have a steak and soup and salad and a dessert. And that was cheaper than going to a drive-in restaurant and ordering a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you eat hamburger when you could eat steak?
Wow.
You know.
Did y'all ever used to go drinking over there?
Yeah, sometimes. And they had a trench that runs through the middle of Juarez. And we were hooting and hollering down around that area. And this police officer came and told us to shut up and come with him. Now, he made one mistake. He walked between us and that trench. And one of the guys, I didn't do it, but one of the guys just gave him a little push. And he ended up in the bottom of that trench.
Well, that wasn't very bright, going after some soldiers, huh? Drunk soldiers.
Well, you see, they in those days, they didn't want to do a whole lot to us because the base commander could put Juarez off base, I mean off limits,
mm-hmm.
where we couldn't go there anymore. They didn't want that in Juarez. Hell, we were half their income, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, to a great extent, they left us alone. And we didn't get in any big trouble. Don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
We were, but I couldn't believe that guy pushed that police officer in that trench. He'd have to figure, and it was deep, he'd have to figure a way to climb out. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of memories back.
Yeah, that's good. You like living in El Paso?
Yes. Seattle, you know, it only rains once a year in Seattle, but it starts in October and ends in March. Here, I love getting up in the morning and seeing the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know.
And the mountains.
When I got out of the service, when I was getting ready to get out, Mom and I were trying to decide where we wanted to live. My folks lived in San Diego at the time, and her folks lived in Rochester, New York. So we decided, let's stay here.
Smart.
And we did. And in those days, El Paso, when I first got here, I think the population of El Paso was like 80,000 or something like that.
Wow.
I can't remember for sure. But now it's close to 1 million.
Tell me about, you had told me one time about a gas war in El Paso.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
When I first came to El Paso, there were two gas stations down on Alameda Street that were having a gas war. And each of them was backed by one of the refineries. There were refineries right there in El Paso. And the price of gas got down to 9 cents a gallon. There were people showing up in pickups with 55-gallon drums, and they had people lined up for miles down the street, you know, because the regular price of gas was 24 cents a gallon.
Wow.
For regular.
Yeah.
Ethyl costs 2 cents a gallon more.
And what was ethyl?
Ethyl is a
What is ethyl?
Uh-huh.
It has what they call, it's an additive in the gas called tetraethyl lead. It's a lead additive that boosts the octane in the...
Okay.
But what we used to do to fill our lighters, we had the old zipper lighter, mm-hmm. Zippo lighters, was when they would gas up the plane if we're out there on guard duty, and they'd be gassing it up, and it would overflow a little bit. You fill your lighter up with that high octane gasoline.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So when did you start smoking?
I think I was 20.
So you were in the Air Force when you started.
I was in the Air Force. You know, it was a cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a very heavy smoker.
Yeah.
Smoked a lot.
But how long has it been since you stopped smoking?
About 30 years.
That's good. Cold turkey.
I quit about 30 years ago. And that's another story in itself. I was working, I was out of the Air Force, of course, and I was working in a government employees credit union selling insurance. And they had the Great American Smokeout on November some 17th or something. And when I got to work, a young girl came up, put her arm around me, took cigarettes out of my pocket and the lighter out of my pocket, said, "You can go one day without smoking." So I said, "Okay." And she and the guy who was manager of the credit union sponsored me. And anyway, I went all day without smoking. I didn't cheat. And I went to where you were working,
mm-hmm.
at track one. And I decided, well, the day is over. And I grabbed a cigarette and started to light it up. And this hand grabbed it, and that was you. And you said, "If you haven't had one all day, you don't need one now." And I've never had another cigarette since.
And how many packs of cigarettes were you smoking a day?
About four a day.
Four?
That's hard.
And if I hadn't quit, I'd been dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Four packs a day? No,
I'm sorry. Okay. Are we done? Is there anything else that you want to tell us?
Oh, but this has been kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I get to sit here next to a young 25-year-old girl.
I know. That's good.
Yeah. And she doesn't know that I'm 87 years old.
Well, now she does.
Now she does. She doesn't know I have grandchildren older than her.